for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday morning service of April the 5th, 1996, of the Passover Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Grace Touchstone is the speaker for the morning.
Privileged to have all of you here, and ministries that's come to minister, and we're thankful for Grace Touchstone to get back with us for camp meeting this time. As I told you last night, they've been here lots of times over the years and helped us on Sundays when just we're here. We're glad for them to be here for camp meeting this week and for her to come and minister this morning. The Lord, the anointing of the Lord flows through this little lady with authority and power. Amen. Sister Grace.
Amen. Well, I believe our cup none got full and it's run over in the saucer. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Tell you, if this gets in the bed, I just don't know what we'll do. One lady said, oh, said Sister Grace, said, we're having the greatest revival, said, it's getting worse and worse. She meant it was getting better and better. So if this gets in the bed, I just don't know what we'll do. Amen. Hadn't it been great? We just look forward to this. And I know so many of you people that's come from so many long ways that it's been worth it, hadn't it?
Amen.
My, when you leave here, you'd say, well, I just believe I'll just come and bring my trailer and I'll just camp on that campground, be in them services all the time. One lady told me she got, oh, she liked this preacher. And she said, I just believe I'm going to sell out and I'm going to follow him everywhere he goes. But you know, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. As we mentioned last night, that we've just done every kind of ministry. We've pastored churches and built churches and done evangelistic work and tent work and TV work and just about every kind. But the Lord led us into the recreational vehicle ministry a few years ago. And we minister in the churches when we get an invitation. We minister there. But our ministry is out in the byways and hedges. You know, these big old cultivators down in Mississippi, in those big plantations, they can cultivate the mainstream of that field. But there's somebody that's got to go over in the corners and get into corners and reach out. And that's what the Lord has moved upon us to do. We was in Florida a year or so ago, and we had this holiday rambling next to us. And so this man come in, and we got to talking with him and having such a great time of visiting and talking about camping. And he was a retired Marine general, General Weiss, Bill. And so one fellow was an enlisted fellow. And he said, oh, I've just always wanted to call a general by his first name. But one night we decided that we would have just everybody at the campground to come and bring something, you know, to eat. And so I thought, well, Bill is the highest ranking officer here on the campground. I think we'll have him to speak. And so, you know, he'd done a little of this along. But you know what happened? God got into that camp meeting, into that service. We had a retired major. And we had a retired Methodist chaplain. And we got together there, and they thought we was going to have a big social event, you know. And here comes the fella and his wife that plays, in the nightclubs, and here they come. And we just had an all mixture there. But that turned into a church service. And one little lady got up, the major's wife got up, and tears began to stream down her face and began to witness for the Lord. And we just had a time. And General Weiss, he brought a wonderful message. He talked about the youth and how that he had great confidence in the youth. So he called us not too long ago from way off somewhere, and I said, Brother Bill, I said, come down and eat dinner with us. I said, I got cornbread and collard greens and sweet potatoes and ham. And, oh, he said, wait a minute, I believe I'll catch a plane and come on down there to eat with you. But the Lord has really used us in this ministry. And not only that, we emphasize the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have a little article here. It's just nothing doctrinal. It's just a combination of scriptures on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You'd be surprised when you get out in the byways and hedges at people. They don't understand much about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we have an opportunity to yes. witness to people and explain them. One lady, she picked up this article and read it, and she said, oh, come on over to my camper. Said, I want to know about that baptism in the Holy Ghost. Said, I've never heard of it. And then she said, I want you to pray for my husband. Said, he's sick. And it's just a constant stream of people. Yes. One lady we met from Australia, Jamie, and so Hamilton visited with her quite a bit, and so when she got ready to, before Hamilton said, well, Jamie, said, you've traveled all over this world. Said, are you ready for that home in heaven? Oh, no, Mr. Touchstone. Says, I haven't saw all of this world yet. But when she got ready to leave, we prayed for her, and tears come in her eyes. And she was up in her 80s then, and Hamilton said, Jamie, said, if we don't see you down here, we'll see you up yonder. You know, the Bible said, cast your bread upon the waters. And many, many days, says, it's going to return. We never know that our lights, that silent witness, just our light shining for the Lord means to the people out there in the byways and hedges. The wayward man, you know, it's emphasized all in these services, the necessity of witnessing and living the life of the Lord and going forward for God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the second chapter of 2 Kings. If you'd like the second chapter in the 2 Kings, beginning with the ninth verse. 2 Kings, the second chapter. It's a familiar portion of Scripture. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elisha said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own raiment and rent them into pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle that Elisha had fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elisha? When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. I'd like to speak a little while on the subject today of a double portion of the Spirit of God, a double portion of the anointed of God. Elisha was a man that had been raised out in the ravines and the mountains. And every once in a while, during the wicked reign of Ahab, he would come and prophesy to Israel and to the king and to the people. And Ahab was a spineless creature. He had married Jezebel because of political reasons, and they had set up the worship of Baal all through the land of Israel. And it was a terrible, vile, cruel religion that they offered infant children and burned them up on the altar to their false god. So God raised up this preacher of fire. I guess he was called the prophet of fire because that he called fire down from heaven. And he called fire to destroy the offices of the king. And he also went up into heaven in a chariot of fire. So no wonder that they called this great prophet of the Lord that was one of the most outstanding prophets in the Old Testament, a prophet of fire. So he knew he was going to leave. You know, down in his heart, Elisha knew that he was going to leave the earth. And he kind of had an inclination to go and die where Moses did. 500 years before then that Moses had died and the Lord buried him somewhere out there. So he was actually, when we see him go back from these different places, from Gilgal to these other places, he was making his way to Jordan. He was going to Mount Horeb because that's where Moses, and he kind of had that inclination that was where that he wanted to die. But isn't it wonderful that the Lord had a great surprise for him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. That he's going to be taken up in a chariot of fire. And so we see the ministry of this fiery prophet that he shuts up heaven and takes the keys and it doesn't rain. And then he's fed in the midst of the drought. He raises the widow's son. He calls fire down from heaven. And then he anoints Elisha to follow him in his stead. So this great prophet of God was fixing to be taken up into heaven. So Elisha, he kept following him. He just went behind him, went behind him, went behind him. Said, I'm staying with this man. I'm going to find out what he's got in his life. He's doing all of these great miracles. He's got all of this boldness to stand before the king and to rebuke the powers of the enemy and to rebuke idol worship and to try to cleanse the land of it. So he followed him on. So I imagine they was going on one day and Elisha said to Elijah, said, Elisha, said, you ask something of me, and I'll give it to you. I imagine Elijah thought, well, he's going to ask for a whatnot. He's going to ask for some little something. Have you ever had people say, I'm going to leave you in my will? But they're as old as we are. They're old as we are. I said, well, these people said, I'm going to leave you in the will. I said, yeah, probably a little whatnot. But he followed him along and followed him along and said, I want to ask you something, Elisha. Said, well, I want a double portion of the Spirit of God. I want twice as much as you've got. You know, lots of times we see these great ministers performing miracles and doing great things. And if we just realize that we can do that too.
Amen.
The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. That the people that believe can cast out devils and heal the sick and raise the dead. So he said, I want more. I want a double portion of the Spirit of God. So we think about it. What is a double portion of the Spirit of God? What is that double anointing? I believe it's the fire of God. The Bible said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water. But there's one that's coming after me, that whose shoes that I'm not worthy to unloose, that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and that with fire. Oh, praise the Lord. We need that fire of God in our souls. We need to be like the prophet of old, said it's like fire shut up in our bones. We can't keep silent. You know, we'll say, well, we'll get around our folks and we're not going to say too much about religion. You know, they don't want to hear it. It bores them. Our ears was not tuned. And so the other Sunday, we had a little family gathering before we left home. And my brother-in-law from Colorado was at home and he likes to go over to Cosina's and gamble a little bit, you know. And so he come. But I'll tell you what we did before they left there. We had us a little service. And Hamilton said, well, I want you to read this scripture, Glenn. Said, it's not plain the other than read it. So he had old Glenn open, read the Bible, you know. And after a while, he said, I'm going to give you this Bible, Glenn. So he took the Bible and put it on his arm and said, people think I'm a preacher. He took the Bible and put it under his arm. But see, the power of the Holy Spirit, it dwells in us. It's a fire that burns in our soul. Oh, hallelujah. My, when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my folks thought I'd gone crazy. I was working there in this store, and so my cousin come in. And you know how slow we can talk in Mississippi. He come in, and he put his arms up on the table like this, and,
He said, "Well, Grace, I heard that you went down and joined up with the Holy Rollers." Woo, glory! I tell you, I'll take you the place right there where God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And when the Lord filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'd been saved about, I guess, maybe about 6 or 8 months. And I just said, "I'll never get the baptism. I'll never get filled." And one night, I went to the altar. And I just reached up. And I said, "Lord, I thank you for saving me." Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, that glory come down. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. I feel it now.
Amen.
It's just as real. Woo.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Woo. And you know, it come down. And he said, "Out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of river living water." It done like this. It come in. Then, woo. My tongue was loose on both ends. I was speaking in tongues. And try to get up. I couldn't get up. I was laying on the floor in front of the altar. Try to get up. Couldn't get up. And all of a sudden, it happened again. Come down. Then all of a sudden, it come back up. My tongue's like that. And when I finally did get up, is a Baptist lady standing about in the middle of the church, and I stumbled right back in her arms. Hallelujah! Fire of God burning. You know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a gold. It's a gateway. Woo! Hallelujah! We taste the powers of the world to come. The powers of the world to come. Oh, the unsearchable riches of the Holy Spirit. No, Elijah was just a tent for the power of God. Oh, he's just a crude-looking fellow with long hair, an old sheepskin coat. But I'll tell you, when he spoke, they knew the man of God had spoken. I appreciate Brother Glenn. You know, keeping this thing in line. People always got a word, got a prophecy. And that's good and that's well. But listen, when you say, "Thus saith the Lord," you've said a mouthful. Yeah. Hallelujah. Some people have been steered the wrong way. Some of them went to the mission field. Couldn't get back. Government had to bring them back. So we need to be careful. But old Elijah had it. And it's twice as much if a... Elijah said, "I want twice as much. I want twice the anointing." And Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power that went around doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil because God was with him. You remember when the little woman touched Jesus? She come in and touched Jesus. And he said, "Virtue hath gone out of me." Inherent power had gone out of him. Just in his garment, just in the garment of Jesus, the little woman just touched it. And that virtue from God, from the Lord, flowed. He said, "I want twice as much." And it's the 9 spiritual gifts and the gateway to the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the church is like a sleeping giant. It's begun to get awakened. It's begun to stir, as the doctor was telling about the meeting in Canada, what is going on there. It's a sign of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these last days. And God is on the move, and we need to move with Him.
Yes.
It's more than just the ordinary. When we receive Christ, we receive a person. Jesus said, "We will come and take up our abode within you." You know, why can't we have the victory? We got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One fellow said, "Well," I asked one fellow one time, I assume we all here are Trinity folks. So I asked this old minister one time, and I said, "I want to ask you something, Brother Mac." I said, "Why can't people see 3 in the Godhead?" He looked at me, his old pea-picking preacher. He said, "Well, I tell you, Sister Grace," said, "they can't count to 3. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. And it's the heir's portion. It's our portion. He told the disciples. He said, you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. You wait there. These times in the season, said, is put into the Father's hands. But said, you wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Speak in new tongues. The power of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's good to enjoy the blessings. But we need to stay full of the Holy Spirit to minister to somebody else. Some people said, oh, what gift should be used? The gift that meets the hour. Somebody that's got cancer, they need the gift of healing. They need the gift of miracles. They need the gift of faith. So there is, the gifts operate, there is a demand for those gifts to operate. Praise the Lord. I know the first time that, you know, I give a message in tongues. You know, I just knew Christian. And the little lady that gave the message last night, that touched me more than anything. Back in the back there. But it's the heir's portion. He's promised it. Look at the Bible in the New Testament. Stephen, he had so much of the power of God in his life. When they stoned him to death, he said, lay not this sin at their charge. And then Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria and he cast out devils. Peter went to the gate and said, silver and gold have I none. What I have, such as I have, give I unto thee. Said, you rise up and walk. You know, sometimes we think we have to just do some great thing over people. And it's good to know. Sometimes I pray for folks. I shout, you know, and feel the anointing. But many, many times, we just say, do it, Lord. Here it is. Let them rise up and walk. Just let them get up off of their ankles and their old crippled legs and rise up and walk. It's God's best. It's God's best. He don't want us to have a substitute. He don't want us to have less than what He has promised us. You remember the prodigal son that complained? His father would not give him a supper and would not give him a robe and put a ring on his finger. He looked at his son and said, son, don't you know everything I've got belongs to you? Our son, I said, well, I know our son can do wrong, but to me, he's just perfect, you know. I said, well, he'd have everything I've got. I don't want that stuff, you know, when I leave this world or whatever happens. I don't want it. You know, all that we have belongs to the Lord. Said, it's yours, God's best. Oh, I believe in this revival we've been getting God's best, don't you? Woo, hallelujah. I believe I go out of here fired up again. Fired up again. Ready to go. It's a contact with God. A intimate. I believe that the doctor brought this reference. It so was impressed on me, that intimate relationship with God. Paul had it. When he went out to separate him, when God called him and knocked him off of that horse and the Lord spoke to him and he went right on in, you know, and God healed him, but he exiled himself. Got away. You know what he come out? He didn't come out and strut and say, oh, I cast out miracles, I raised the dead, I healed the sick, and I got this great revelation from God. Which, that's okay. Do you know what Paul said? He said, Christ revealed himself to me. Yeah. Everything that's done, he said he won't take his glory and share it with anybody else. It's done for the glory of God. What does a desire really imply? What does it imply? An interest in the plan of God. You know, when the Israelites come out of bondage, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them by the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light. To be interested in what God is doing today. Lots of people, they live in old blessings of yesteryear. You know, I believe it was one minister, I believe it was our brother here, talking about some of the things we endured, you know, when we first started out in the full gospel. You know, but we're living. It's not the message, it's not any different, but sometimes the method's a little different. I saw a man on TV, and he's got all of these kind of instruments to get the message out in our generation. You know, have you ever thought about TV? And I know it's terrible in lots of ways, but God is using it to get the message out in these end times. So we need to go under the glory of God. And also, if we will just stay humble before the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit, His blessings is going to overtake us. He said in one place, said, all these blessings shall come upon thee and shall overtake thee. Sometimes it's just because we've lived right and we've been a blessing to somebody, and all of a sudden He'll give us these extra blessings. They'll just come our way. A sincere desire to be used of God. I believe the congregation that's gathered here today, there's a desire to be used of God. You know, you never know what influence that you have on people. The little doctor at home, his wife is a sweet little lady. My sister, twin sister, practically raised her because her mother was not well. And I got talking to her about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, Carolyn, the Lord wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And one night while she was praying, the Lord baptized her at home in the Holy Ghost. And she said something to me. I didn't know this all through the years. I watched Carolyn grow up, just a little country girl, and married the local doctor that come into the area. And I was at her house one day, and I felt like it was, I'm just saying it because she said it. She said, Grace, you've had the greatest influence on my life than anybody I've ever known. We never know. Some of our senior citizens said, what can I do? Oh, there's so much we can do. So much we can do. We may forget about where we put our dish rag. And we may not confine our Bible. It's just like one minister. He was concerned about this elderly gentleman and never made a profession of Christ, you know, never talked about, as you were talking about, these that don't ever say anything, you know, and no hunger. So went to visit the old gentleman in his late 80s. And so they got to talk, and after a while he said, do you ever think about the hereafter? Oh, he said, I think about it all the time. Said, I go in the kitchen, and I think to myself, what am I in here after? So, you see, we can all be used of God. Sincere desired. And to preach Bible deliverance. Preach Bible deliverance. I believe it was E.V. Hill, Baptist preacher out in California. He said, when you get two people together, said, you got a mess. But said, if you get more than two people together, said, you got a big mess. And you know, we are dealing with human behavior in our generation that I don't believe any generation's ever dealt with. To preach deliverance. Now, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives, recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Yes, hallelujah.
I preached in this black church recently. It was a lady. She looked to be about in her 50s. She had a child in her lap. And I walked back to her, and I sensed in the Holy Spirit that her heart was literally broken. Tears were just streaming down her face. And later on, the pastor told me, he said, her husband left her with a bunch of children. Said he had a good job with the railroad, but he had left her. That God would bind up the brokenhearted.
Yes.
There's not a family here that there hadn't been some kind of tragedy, some kind of heartbreak. We had friends just to visit her recently. They had their son is a doctor. He's retired military down around Pensacola. But they had a daughter and her husband, tremendous wholesale furniture business in Sarasota, Florida. And they started up into Carolinas where they were building a cabin in their little one of these little private planes, and it crashed and killed both of them. And they come to visit us just before we left, and they said, you've had such an influence upon our lives. You know, God just used us to help to bind up that broken heart and to heal the brokenhearted. I remember my sister said something one time, my oldest sister, it was 12 in our family, 8 girls and 4 boys. There's only 7 left. She was superintendent of nurses at the Helena Hospital for many, many years. She died when she was 47 years old. But I remember something she said. She said, tragedy has no respect of person. It can hit anywhere, anybody, at any time.
Yeah.
So we are not living in a modern utopia. We cannot put our heads in the sand and ignore what is going on in this world. Oh, there's people that, oh, we're just living in, everything's perfect. We need to make an influence in our time. We need to make an influence in our culture. And I appreciate Brother Glenn, Sister Irma, and the people praying for this nation. And I know we all do. We all pray. It is the stepping stone of evangelism for the entire world. Like our brother, our black brother, talked last night. And in closing, what will it really take? Got about 3 minutes. Determination. We want God's best. If we want that anointing, that great anointing, a great anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, or however you call it, we got to be determined. We got to be like Jacob when he prayed. He said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. Lots of folks, when God just really gets ready, brother, to give them a great blessing and do something, they get up and run home. Get up and go home. Well, I'm hungry. I got to go and see about my beans. They're burning. And I got to go see about them, you know. But determination. Did you notice that Elisha said, I'm not going to leave you. Elisha said, would you tarry here at Bethel? I'm going to go to Jericho. He said, uh-uh. I ain't leaving you. You might as well just get ready. I'm not leaving you. He said, well, would you stay at Jericho while I go to Gilgal? Uh-uh. He started out in Gilgal first. Boy, he's right behind him. So he wound up at Jordan. You know where Elisha was going? He's going to Mount Horeb. He thought he was going to die there. That's where he was going. He thought he was going to die. God had something else in store for him. So we need determination. Then we need consecration. Consecration. Our lives are not our own. We are bought with a price. Paul said, I'm a love slave. I'm a love slave. You know what Elisha did? He slew the oxen and burned the instruments and went after Elijah. He said, I'm going. I'm going. If mama don't go with me, I'm going anyway. If daddy don't go, I'm going. If wife don't go, I'm going. If children don't go, I'm going. Hallelujah. Lord called me. My folks thought I was crazy. Thought I ought to go into nurses training. But I had a brother-in-law. He was mean as a wet dog. He said, that grace is going to make a holiness preach. His mother was holiness. Yeah. That grace is going to make a holiness preacher. So she'd be up there making them biscuits for 12 kids and spitting in them. We had to stand up on a box and make them. Because we all had a little one in the house most of the time. But he said, I'm going to burn the bridges. You remember when Lot's wife looked back? She said, oh, I got an old 4-poster bed in there, back there in Sodom. And said, I want that bed. And she looked back. She turned her pillow soft. The people, the Seventh-day Adventists, they were in World War II. She's German, married American serviceman. And she said that when the bombing started in Germany, said lots of people moved out to the country. And said that she remembered just as a young girl at this time that this woman had moved to the country and said she'd walk up and down the road and said, I had a couch in my house that nobody had ever sat on. Never sat on that couch. And said she'd go and just worry about that couch back in Berlin that nobody had ever sat on. God wants to bless us. But when we hang on to stuff, you know, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. What does that actually mean? Be not addicted to temporal things. Those things are going to pass. They'll rot. They'll decay. Young'uns will bleed you to death wanting money all the time for something. You know, kids, you know, they always want something. But anyway, in separation, we need to separate. The Bible just says, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you. The Scripture says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But that's what we've been doing around this camp meeting. We've been reproving the unfruitful works of darkness, binding them. My little sister-in-law is secretary of their GLOW in the state of Mississippi, and she was called on to speak, and she's talking about all these casinos. She said, they squatters. So they ain't got no business being here. That's the truth. They ain't got no business being here. But we need, and then self-denial, to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. And the last, look into the Lord. Look into Jesus. Oh, we love to get people to lay hands on us. We feel good, you know. We get blessed. We get healed and all that. But sometimes, it's just like they told them for five unwise virgins. Said, you go buy for yourself. We need to get down on our own prayer bones and touch God. And touch God. Look into God. He said, if you see me when I go up. Said, now, Elisha, you've asked a hard thing. But said, if you see me when I go up, I'm going to grant your request. He kept his eyes on him. He said, oh, my father. Said, there's a chariot and there's the horses. Elisha just stepped over in it. Started up. But he kept his eyes on him. And after a while, that old sheepskin coat began to come down out of heaven. He rent his clothes, picked up that old sheepskin coat, and went over and stood by the bank of Jordan and said, where is the Lord God of Elisha? And it parted hither and thither. He walked over on dry ground. Now, he got just a little bit more than Elisha, because they throwed a dead man in. Dead men on his bones after he died. He was revived. And he lived. Power of God, there was still anointed in the power of God. And old Elisha's bones, that it resurrected the dead.
Amen.
You know what? Most of us full gospel people, I hate to say it, we claim an upper room experience and we're living in the basement. Right. Claim upper room experience, we're living in the basement. But I can say this, the Lord knows the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's what we have our problem over. Yeah. One time, I was pastoring the church, and this little evangelist, he looked like a sprang. He fasted so much. Come in that old beat-up car and got us all to fasting. We'd been fasting about 4 or 5 days. And these people I stayed with, they didn't know nothing to eat but beans and light bread. About all I had was beans and light bread. And I ate so many, those old Navy Northern beans, I vowed I never did want any more. But I was sitting there next to a lady they didn't have no parsonage. And I had to preach around a great big old pole in the old church. Oh, I got done good if I got $30 a week. I was so happy. And so I looked over, Jesse. I was so hungry. And I said, Jesse, have we got any bread in the house? The Lord knows we're weak. But if we'll just be determined to say, Lord, we want your best. And you know, the Spirit of God. He said when the enemy will come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a stand. We think that we don't have much. And we think that we're not anointed like we ought to be anointed. But you let the devil get after us. Boy, that the Holy Ghost power rise up against him. You can just feel that anointing. And it'll come so many times. Like I met this man. He was so critical. He was down in Louisiana at one of the parks. I'm up close because it's time. Everybody. But that just was. And he was so critical of everything, the church and everything else. And I looked at him when he was fixing to go fishing. There's a park there out, Fountain Blown, out of New Orleans. I said, sir, forget about the critical attitude towards the church world and towards everybody's hypocrites and all of that. I said, I want to leave one message with you. Jesus has left an example that we are to follow in his steps.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, Brother Glenn. Come and dismiss however. Hallelujah. He might want you to praise the Lord and stay. I'll tell you what. Let's do. He kind of looked at me, so I thought, let's just everyone stand and raise our hands and say, Lord, I believe you for a double portion of the Spirit of God. Lord, I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, fill every one of us full and overflowing. Let it run out of the cup into the saucer. Lord, revive us, Lord. Revive life in us. Glory to God. Ila la ma shanda la 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 ba sataya. Yanda da da shanda la la ba 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 si si ta ta la 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 sataya. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ilata shando la 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 baba sa sataya. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the anointing. Thank you for your power. Fill us full and overflowing, Father. Let us do great exploits for your glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory.
A couple of weeks ago, Sunday morning, I taught on the subject, where is the Lord God of Elijah?
Yes.
And where is he today?
Amen.
He's here, but are we aware of it? You know, Elisha went back and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he was there with him. And he did double everything that Elijah had done. Every you go through and you study what happened with Elijah, and Elisha done two of everything that Elijah had done. So where is the Lord God of Elijah? He's in our midst. And we need
Hallelujah.
To be, and we need to take that place of authority and dominion and stand and believe. The problem is, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. And thank you, Sister Grace. Blessings to you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.